Welcome to Restoring Home, where we discuss marriage, family, and faith. And this being our initial episode, cameras around, lights on us, and us not having done this before, my wife Donna and I are here to say that this is, we're out of our element today, but glad you're here and glad we're doing this. Donna, how you, tell them how you're feeling.
I'm very nervous, and I've already made some mistakes.
We
I'm
did.
Hoping it's okay.
I'm glad they didn't keep those bloopers, because they were funny, by the way.
But it's worth it.
It is, it's worth important. It. It is, because our homes, you know, we've been so blessed with our kids and our families. Home is such a powerful force in the world. You said that the other day as we were preparing this and talking about it. Mm-hmm. How home is a powerful force in the world. And it's the seedbed and the training grounds for preparing the next emissaries of the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important work. And the problem is, as important as it is that we really don't get much training for this. In fact, as I counsel people and deal with marriage and parenting and lots of other issues, with people, what I've come to find is that so many families these days are eager, very eager, mm-hmm. to do a great job. They want wonderful marriages. They want strong faith. They want their children to do well and to be wise. But they don't know how to do it, because they themselves, growing up, mm-hmm. didn't get good instruction or perfect instruction. In fact, that's the theme of today's production, is that there's no such thing as a perfect family or perfect parents. Mm-hmm. And so we want to talk about that some today by sharing a little bit about ourselves. First of all, tell everyone a little bit about our family.
Okay. Well, we have five kids and four boys and a girl right in the middle. They range from being servants and salesmen, farmer, engineer, lots of different things that they're involved in. They all love the Lord, and they love us. Mm-hmm. I'm so thankful for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You say we have five?
We have five.
Mm-hmm. And three are married, and they have how many grandchildren now?
Nine
grandchildren. That's right. And we love them. And being grandparents is different from being parents, and we're learning how to be grandparents now, which is a fun adventure. That's
wonderful.
Right. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So, so our family is you know, when they get together, I would say that our family just has a lot of fun together. Mm-hmm. We love to being together. We cannot wait to all pile up. In fact, I think the best descriptor of who we are is we're a pile of puppies when mm-hmm. we get together. We're hugging one another. We're sitting together. We're crawling around. Just there's a lot of wrestling with the guys. Sometimes
good
games.
Dance.
Yeah, that's right. So it's a lot of fun. As a family, we have, but we got to this point through some hurdles, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Describe a little bit to everybody, kind of describe your childhood home atmosphere. What was it like in your home?
Yeah. Well, it was unpredictable
mm-hmm.
and scary at times,
mm-hmm.
Fun at times.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of contradictory, I guess. My mom, very nurturing. My dad was an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it was confusing. It was very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of stress.
The alcohol made it stressful for you?
Yeah.
Because dad was one day angry, the next day okay, and back and forth. You never knew exactly.
I didn't really feel good the other day either.
Yeah, is that right?
Right.
So it was very stressful and unpredictable kind of home mm-hmm. atmosphere there. So how would you describe your dad? Just think of a few words to describe him for us as you
yeah.
remember him as a kid when you were growing up. Kind of.
Okay. Well, as a kid, very different than how I remember him now, because he did a lot of changing in those later years. I realized that he was a great leader. And he had others. I didn't see his strengths when I was a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
It was more just seeing the anger and the stress and the the rage and impatience, unkind words, and it was scary at times, because he would get so angry when he was drunk that we called the police a few times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
but as an adult, I realized he was his good traits. You know, like he loved nature. He was very funny, very great sense of humor, a very loyal friend,
and a pretty good card player too.
And a great card player.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And he also was. He always cared about the underdog.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And your mom.
Just
a few things to describe your mom. Okay. There's too many to go into all of them because there are lots of them. But if you will, just tell us a little bit about your mom. It's okay. That's right.
Okay. She was a sweetie. Sorry. She was just very loving, very friendly. Everybody loved her. She was funny also, and very nurturing, but she was very hurt. So she could get really, you know, snap and be very angry, probably because she was holding it all in. She's a good lady.
She was. And I know that she was also a great salesman because she was able to walk up to her sons-in-law, especially this one.
Yeah.
And slip her hand. She was about that tall compared to me. And so she would slip a hand right in here somewhere and say in a little timid little voice, "Can I get you to do a few little things for me?" And so we would go hang up things that granddad couldn't get to, wasn't able to do. And so I would do those things. And so she was a sweetheart. So you grew up in that atmosphere. My home was chaotic a bit too. My dad drank, but my dad was a happy drunk. He would come home and want to tease and laugh and dance. He wanted to dance around. He was just fun, and he brought home gifts from the bar when we come in from the tavern that he went to. He'd bring in gifts of, like, here's Coca-Cola's for my brother and I, or potato chips or some little treat that we could have. And so we just thought it was great when that dad was cool. My mother, of course, was bearing the stress of all that stuff. And so my mother was a worrier. My mother was very tense. She had to make everything work out because my dad was irresponsible. She had to become super responsible. And she turned to me to help, to rely on me sometimes to be a stable helping factor in the family, especially as I began to get a little bit older. I had to be responsible. And my dad was grew up in a family that was very dysfunctional. His dad was a mean drunk, and his dad would come home at night. And I remember hearing anyway that when my granddad came home, my grandmother and my dad and his brothers and sister would run out of the house and hide in the woods nearby until my granddad would fall asleep. Then they would come in and sleep because he was brutal, abusive. So that was his background. And then he comes to us, and he was a happy drunk, which was better than what my granddad had been. But there were a lot of things he didn't have to bring to the table either. Yeah.
We both came from difficult.
We did. And nobody has the perfect scenario. We all bring some baggage.
Yeah.
And that's part of what we want to talk about here today is what do we do with that when we come in with that kind of baggage? Is there anything, or are we just stuck? And how do we pick up tools that we don't have and from others? That's part of the reason for Restoring Home is that we will be bringing people in so they can share with us what they've learned that worked and what they would not do again because it didn't work. And we'll be learning from one another.
Yeah. Can you think of some good things that you learned from your family?
Yes, I can. I'll start with my dad, since he was so influential on my life. My dad there was a little boy that was, there was a lady that we thought was our aunt. They called her our aunt. I don't know. I don't think she was really related to us directly, but somehow she was in the family. And she had a little boy, and this lady was mentally a little bit slow, but we always heard she was slow. She was behind a little bit and sort of stuck at a childish age, even though she was grown. Somebody took advantage of her, and she had a child. I don't know the story behind that, but I do know that when the little boy was around 8 or 9 years old or so, my dad would take my brother and I every year at Christmas time and buy a gift for this little boy, and we would go and take it to Aunt Mary Jane. Mm-hmm. And we would take it to her so she would give it to this little boy. And I saw that, and then I saw also my mother's kindness. We had, in those days, it was safer, I guess, but I remember we lived about 200 feet from a four-lane highway. And every now and then, someone would walk up on the porch and knock on the door, which is a screen door. It was hot mm-hmm. down in Texas, and knock on the door, and there'd be a man there, a stranger. And they were called hobos. They were just travelers, homeless people. And they would come and knock on the door, and eventually the word got out that my mom would make a sandwich for you if you mm-hmm. asked. Mm-hmm. So they would come to the door and ask for some food, and she would make a scrambled egg sandwich for them, and they would mm-hmm. eat it and be thankful and then go on their way. So I saw those kindnesses in my parents, mm-hmm. and so those are things that came to me, and that's an example mm-hmm. of yeah. how we do get really good things from our parents mm-hmm. sometimes. Those are two good ones from my family.
I thought of a story in my family. Mm-hmm. My mom was a good lady, but she was also very stubborn. She was always right. I came by that honestly, I guess.
I have no comment on that. Just go right ahead.
And then my dad was very stubborn. In fact, one time, two times I think, he won a bet, these bets, that he couldn't stop drinking for a year, a full year, mm-hmm. and he would do it. He could do it to win the $20 bet. Mm-hmm. So he had a lot of stubbornness in him. But really, every weakness that we see in our parents or even ourselves, right, is really a strength that the enemy has gotten to use instead of the kingdom, mm-hmm. for the kingdom's sake, or for the king. Mm-hmm. So I think I see it as like determination and just a willingness to fight and mm-hmm. to stick it out, do mm-hmm. the right, do the hard thing. And so I see that in my siblings and myself, that we have been very resilient in a lot of hardship and different mm-hmm. things because of the things maybe that we had to endure, but also mm-hmm. watching and our parents and having that same stubbornness in us as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and we've...
You need to agree with that, too.
I'm no comment. I'm going to keep moving here. I would say, you know, I just, as you were talking, another memory came to my mind of a time when my dad did something, and there was a way in which what he had learned was played out in our life, mm-hmm. but it was not good. It was toxic. Oh. You know, I'm backing up a little bit here, but mm-hmm. his dad used, well, let me just tell the story and then I'll explain that. When I was probably, I guess I was nine or 10, somewhere there. I had a brother, and my brother, and we're about 2 years apart, and I'm older. Mm-hmm. And I would say I teased my brother a lot. Probably too much.
Still do.
Yeah, I still do. That's right. And still love it very much. And he still doesn't love it. But I was kind of a bully back then. I didn't know when to stop. And so I would keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And so one day, I guess my dad came home from work and probably had a lot of stress on him. But he came home from work. And here my brother is upset. I don't know if he was crying or just angry or what, but my brother's upset. And so my dad is just had it with me. Mm-hmm. And so what he did, and I only have bits and pieces of this, but they're pretty vivid, the ones that I have, is that he went in the house and got clothes. He got a shirt or something. It wasn't much because he put it in a paper bag that was about this tall, and mm-hmm. he rolled the top down so it's only about that much. So he got a few clothing items and put them in there. And he called my brother and he said, come get in the truck. And so my brother got in the truck with him and he told me, my dad said, you are not going to be mean to my boy anymore. We're leaving. And they left.
Yeah.
And as they're driving down this oil-top East Texas road and I'm running behind my dad and I'm coming apart. I remember that so vividly. I am coming apart screaming, Dad, I'm sorry, don't go. And they drove off and they got on the main road and they were gone out of sight. And I remember, I'm sure my mom tried to calm me down that it was okay, but I thought I'd just lost my dad.
It was
traumatic. I was traumatized. And so, they came back after some time, and my dad scolded me and said, don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Don't be mean to him anymore. Well,
Did it work? It
didn't work. That's a part of the problem. It's this stuff we think it will work, and it didn't work with our parents. It doesn't work with us. But my dad tried to use fear. Mm-hmm. His dad was mean, of course. And so he would use fear to control his family. And my dad was in a different way, kinder way, still using fear to control me, and it didn't work. So that's why we want to get rid of these things that don't work in our lives. And we want to gain some things that do mm-hmm. for our kids' sake, so that our kids grow up wise and well-balanced. Do you have any other examples there about our family from our experience with our kids, how we brought any pain or any baggage to our children?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about that time that we moved back from Kenya. We've been there 7.5 years, and moving internationally is very stressful. Mm-hmm. I think when we're under a lot of stress, we're not our best selves, and we were arguing more than normal. And I found myself yelling at the kids, which was something that I had determined, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that mom that yells. And I heard, Focus on the Family, I heard them tell about a book called Kids Who Carry Our Pain. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to pass on to the next generation my pain that I haven't dealt with. Now, I learned about forgiveness during college years, so 18, 19 years old. I really did take the heart work of forgiving for my own sake, not just, for my parents' sake, but just so that I could move forward. But, life went on, and I realized there was more that needed to be dealt with, mm-hmm. a little deeper. I guess I dealt with what I knew to deal with mm-hmm. at that time. But I read that book, and it really convicted me and made me know this is powerful, this is important. Mm-hmm. And I do think that there was a turning point there that I didn't want to be an angry mom. Mm-hmm. I wanted to nurture, and I wanted to love them. I wanted to give them wisdom. I wanted to discipline them, but not out of anger. Mm-hmm. So my motivation was different, and my understanding of just who I was. I had to come to an understanding of who I was in Christ, mm-hmm. and just seeing them differently. Even we're all fearfully and wonderfully made, and each of us has strengths. So. And weaknesses, mm-hmm. but those weaknesses are often strengths that we just need to see it through God's eyes, mm-hmm. so that we can bless and nurture them mm-hmm. toward their best self mm-hmm. that God made them to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As we talk about this, it is so many families want to be so much different than they are. And to do better, not that they necessarily look down on their parents or are disappointed in their parents in a big way, but they just realize there's some gaps. And there are some situations where people really did not get almost any good tools, and they want to do so much better with their marriage, for example, or with raising their children. And so restoring home in the next weeks as we go through, mm-hmm. we're going to talk about a lot of topics that will address specific situations and how to handle those. Mm-hmm. And as we talk about perfection, I want to define that in a little different way, because we do want to be perfect parents. If we understand the word perfect, in Scripture, the word perfect is not there to mean flawless. In English, we think of perfect as something that's without any errors, any mistakes. Mm-hmm. It's perfect. And that isn't necessary. That isn't really the meaning when we are to be perfect in Christ, for example. Perfect there means something else. It doesn't mean flawless. It means mature. It means developed. It means it now can reproduce. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we want to become perfect parents. Mm-hmm. Because, not meaning flawless, because none of us are going to make that. But we want to be mature. And we want to know how to reproduce in our children the characteristics and the mm-hmm. faith and the know-how of life mm-hmm. that they can then go forward and be themselves reproducing those good things. They can be mature themselves. So we do want wise kids. We want mature children. Mm-hmm. We want those marriages to be mature and as spouses to be mature with one another. And so we can get there. Mm-hmm. It can be, but we have to hear from the scripture mm-hmm. and we have to hear from others who can bring those insights of how that scripture actually plays out in life in a better and healthier way. And that's what we're going to do because home is powerful.
Yeah.
It is worth it. So we'll be doing that over the next few weeks.
That's exciting.
And this has been fun. You did a good job.
We can learn from other people because people, we can stand on their shoulders, and that's how our kids are going to do too and are doing.
Yeah.
We watch them, and sometimes we're just like, oh, wish I'd done that with my kids when I was a young mom.
Yeah. Now, I didn't have those good examples, so I did pick up a lot of my learning initially came from three men who attended church with us. Mm-hmm. I just watched their families, and then later on another family was very pivotal and very influential, I should say, in my actually deciding to marry you. But that's another story for another day, which people might enjoy. We'll tell
I'm
it.
I'm so thankful that for that person.
I am too for them. They set a good example, so we'll be doing that. So for Restoring Home, in the weeks to come, we have those several things planned, and we're looking forward to inviting some guests to come in and sit with us here at the table to talk about these things and to share their stories with you and to share scripture. We'll be having help occasionally from Grant, who will come in and give us some insights from Hebrew and the text itself. And so we're looking forward to all of that so that we can encourage one another and build one another up. Scripture says we should talk about these things on the road, at home, when we sit down and when we're together. So we're doing that here at Restoring Home. Really quickly, we also have in the links will be placed below the video that you can follow up on the book that Donna mentioned and any other resources that we've prepared. We do have there for you prepared a home assignment, and every week we'll try to have some kind of homework for you to do that's very practical. It's not a time waster. It's not just busy work, but we really have something for you to do at home that's going to help your family to improve and grow and mature and be perfect in those ways. We're looking forward to next week where we're going to talk about how imperfect parents can develop faith in their kids. So how can an imperfect parent do that? And if you're an imperfect parent like us, mm-hmm. we'll share with you what we've learned. God bless everybody, and thank you for helping us to restore home.